and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
Nunes' hands are down, and she's walking Ronda down. She tags her again.
Over and over, Amanda Nunes.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
If I can't teach you one way, I'll teach you another. But I'm going to get the job done.
Pedro Fernandez.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar Sports Byline Studios in San Francisco. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC TV. Straight up, 38 plus years now of being undisputed heavyweight champion of the radio airs. My name is Pedro Fernandez. Welcome to the longest running fight show in history, Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Of course, we'll be talking about the life and the passing, of course, of former middleweight champion, the iconic one, Marvelous Marvin Hagler. Never disgraced the game of boxing, never had any bad headlines, never was Marvin. Marvin and his attitude, we'll talk about that in depth. We'll hear from Marvin Hagler at about 32 minutes past the hour. Of course, we'll hope to bring in Larry Merchant, a retired HBO godfather. So we'll hear from Larry, we'll hear from Marvin. We're going to bring in Jessica McCaskill, of course, the women's 147-pound champion last night, just looking fantastic, taking out the icon. I'm talking about Cecilia Brakus. Brakus came in at 36-1, of course, lost that one fight to McCaskill, lost her second fight to McCaskill last night, but last night it was a rout. So we'll hear from Jessica later in the show. We'll also hear from David Benavidez, of course, the former WBC super middleweight champion, a victor last night. Pretty good outing, no doubt about that. We'll talk about that in depth with President Mauricio Sulaiman, who will be here at about 37 minutes past the hour here, of course, Ring Talk Live Worldwide, to talk about the life and the career of Marvelous Marvin Hagler. How he got Marvelous, we'll even hear from Marvin today. So lots of stuff to talk about. 2 hours of Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC TV, coming to you live on Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. Open phone lines around the planet. Check this, 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Or the guilt-free, no-commitment text line. The number, 415-275-1613. The text line, once again, 415-275-1613. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, but you know that. Check it, James Brown, the Godfather of Soul, means the Godfather, the retired HBO Godfather, is on the line from Southern California to talk about the husband of Patricia Stitch Merchant. How are you this morning, sir? And I got the name right, didn't I?
You did, sir. Can I go home now?
No, I blow that name all the time. You know I blow that name all the time, so, I mean, I didn't even write it down.
Well, we are advancing in your society.
Okay, let's talk about the life and the career of Marvin Hagler. Of course, come to us, he was a rough guy. I mean, he turned pro, after just a couple amateur fights in 1973, came up the hard way, fought in club fights in other guys' hometowns like Philly and places like that. And yet he persevered. I mean, at the end of the day, he was the undisputed world middleweight champion.
Yes, and it both inspired and haunted him. That kind of start. When Sugar Ray Leonard shot out of the 1976 Olympics and was on television in his first professional prize fight, and then went on from there to be a star within months, if not weeks or days, it drove him a little crazy because he had put so much time into it, and because it was, he had such a hard path to get half of the recognition that Ray Leonard did.
You know, Larry, he was the only guy that I parsed my words with. And I mean, I didn't parse my words with anybody. But with him, I walked around on eggshells, whether it was in the gym, whether we were in Mexico, whether he was retired, we were in France together, we were in Spain together. But each time, I sort of tiptoed around him. I guess I was scared. I mean, that's the best way I could put it.
Is this show about you or about Marvin Hagler?
No, but I'm just trying to say, that's how intimidating the guy was. I mean, he just was a
partner. No, he felt he had to be that. He had to win everybody's respect. It took him a long road to get to a title. Titles weren't thrown around as freely in those days as they are today. Mm-hmm. And it could have easily defeated him, but it spurred him on. He knew how good he was. He knew how strong and tough he was. And he kept driving and driving and became a champion. And I'll never forget the day we were up there in maybe Boston, I'm not sure. And he announced that he had legally, and I don't know what he meant by legally, changed his name to Marvelous Marvin Hagler. I don't want to say that's unique in boxing. Sugar Ray Robinson was not born Sugar Ray Robinson after all. And many prize fighters took kind of stage names, but he felt that he needed to get behind himself because nobody else would.
We talk about Marvin Hagler. Of course, he retired middleweight champion of the world, passed away at the age of 66 or 68. And again, Hagler's age is coming into controversy in his passing. I mean, I've seen news reports where he was 66. I've seen news reports where he was 68. We always, that was one thing I never brought up with him. I never brought up his age. I remember I had the questions in front of you. I'll never forget this. They set me down for an interview with him at Johnny Taco's gym in Las Vegas, Nevada, and I had the camera rolling the whole nine yards, and they gave me these questions, and one of them was about to ask him about his age. And I remember scratching that question out, saying, nah, I don't want to go there. I was absolutely, he was intimidating. Just let's put it, I'm reiterating that fact.
You were an agitator.
Yeah, I know, well.
Everybody.
Well, you know, but he knew it. I guess he knew it. Anyway, talking about, of course, Marvin Hagler, 62-3. The three losses, the only loss that he didn't avenge, of course, was to Ray Leonard, and that was controversial at the end. And we talked about the scoring of that fight a couple different places, and he was stuck to it that he won, and he wasn't going to be budged off that position, and I wasn't going to push him too hard on that one. But he was real bitter. We'll play an interview with him later where he wasn't bitter. That was a recent interview. But he was so bitter. I mean, every time I talked to him, it was like, Leonard, Leonard. You know, it's like 20 years later.
Yeah, well, as I said, you know, Ray Leonard was made for the television age. He had a big, magical smile. He was a hell of a fighter, a boxer, and a banger. And for some reason, he was one of those rare athletes who just pops out at everybody, and people fell in love with him and wanted to follow his career from fight one. And Marvin had to fight his way up to fight one.
Yeah.
Fighting tough guys from Philadelphia. But he learned his craft that way. And he used his bitterness as a super fuel.
But I think he got him because he tried to outbox Ray Leonard instead of trying to steamroll Ray Leonard like he probably should have done.
Well, you're right. You're 100% right. I can remember, as I'm sure you can, that before his memorable fight with Tommy Hearns, how Marvin stood in the corner banging his fists against his stomach, his arms, and I had never seen him do that, and I thought to myself, what's going on here? Well, it soon became apparent. He was pouring more fuel on the fire. He was getting himself worked up to fight a guy who had been a smaller fighter. Hearns was a welterweight for much of his career, and he was a middleweight, and he went out, and maybe in the first minute and a half, Hearns cracked him with one of the best right hands I ever saw him hit anybody with, and nothing happened.
He blinked.
And right from there, I don't know if I said it at the time, but I know I thought it at the time, this fight is over. If Tommy Hearns can hit anyone with his best shot, and the guy didn't blink, then raise the other guy's hand. And it was one of the most memorable 8 minutes of a prize fight in modern history. But when he fought Ray Leonard, he wanted to prove that he could outbox the great Ray Leonard. Instead of coming out southpaw, which he was a natural southpaw, he came out right-handed. And he was going to surprise Ray Leonard. He was going to outwit him as well as outhit him. And by the time he awakened, halfway through the fight, the crowd was into it for Leonard. So little was expected of Leonard at that stage of his career because he had been mostly idle for the five previous years. Mm-hmm. And to see Ray Leonard suddenly in the fight, he won the drama of the fight. By the time Marvin woke up and realized that he was giving away rounds he shouldn't have.
You know, we were in Mexico City, and he said to me, "Who do you think won the fight?" And I said, "Oh, I think you sort of gave away the first four rounds, and then, you know, you let Ray steal three rounds down the stretch." In other words, I said, I sort of parsed it that way so he wouldn't get mad at me. I mean,
right.
again being scared of Marvin Hagler. Anyway, Godfather, you have a good day, and kiss the Godmama for me, please.
I will try.
Ah! The Godfather, Larry Merchant, exclusively on Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC TV.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, with Pedro Fernandez.
You ask me how well did he fight, I don't know, but I can tell you one thing, he punched good.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council. The WBC.
Let's get out of this hot sun into a nice cool bar.
In a few minutes, honey.
Welcome back to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC TV. I think this is our sixth edition of WBC TV. Of course, you can check us out always, twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel, both live and delayed. They hold the delayed broadcast, I think, for 2 weeks. After 2 weeks, they trash them, but we'll be putting them on some type of video disc and trying to put them on the WBC website. In fact, we'll talk with WBC President Jose Suleiman on the career of Marvin Hagler. Of course, Marvin passed away yesterday at the age of 66 or 68. Nobody really knows how old he really was. I sort of thought he was a little bit older than he said, but straight up, Marvin Hagler was a great fighter, no doubt about that, and he was a man's man. I mean, he just was. He didn't take any smack from anybody, and like I said, he was the only fighter, and I said it many times in this prior segment, the aforementioned, I was scared of him. I just didn't go there. I went there with everybody. I wasn't afraid of anybody, but I didn't go there with Hagler. Of course, first time I saw him fight was against Roberto Duran. Of course, Roberto Duran was beating him after 12 rounds, and he came on in the 13th, 14th, to 15th round and beat a lightweight. I thought that was one of Roberto's greatest moments. He came in 77-4, but he left a unanimous decision loser to Marvin Hagler. Of course, a lightweight champion moving up. And then I saw him fight Roldan. That was his next fight, Juan Roldan. Man, he smoked Roldan. Roldan rocked him a couple times, but he took care of that. Then I saw him fight Tommy Hearns. That's where I met Larry Merchant. Larry Merchant looked like he fell out of an airplane and survived. This is what he looked like. I'm telling you, he's walking around the Caesars Palace Sports Pavilion, and he's walked around the press area, and he looked like he had fell out of an airplane and survived, and he walked up to me, he's like, "Did you see that?
Did you see that?
And yeah, that started our relationship. And you just heard it sort of culminate there that we've been together since April 15th, 1985 at about 8:30 at night Pacific time. So he's been a part of this show now for 35 years. Godfather, may he, you know, he's just the greatest. We thank him so much for his time. But then I watched him fight, John Mugabe, of course, the Beast. Beast came in undefeated, 25 and zip. Of course, a bad dude at 154 pounds, but 160 pounds was a step up, not only in size, but in class. Cause, you know, the guys he was beating at 154 did not, where they were not Marvin Hagler. And of course, I mean, Mugabe roughed Hagler up. In fact, he took miles off Hagler's career without a doubt with that beating. Of course, Marvin Hagler, not the same after that fight, and then lost like a year later to Sugar Ray Leonard. Now, Marvin Hagler, let's go back in time. This was only a year ago, but this is Marvin Hagler basically unplugged.
No, it was a great career. I mean, it wasn't easy. But it made it much easier because I love the sport. I love to fight. And so it made my job a lot easier, you know. But it was a lot of hard work.
What moment would you say remains fresh in your memory when you look back?
I would have to say the Tommy Hearns fight. Behind the fact that, you know, that was the highlight of my career, I believe. I had to prove to the people my greatness, and I think that they started to see in it right then. And so I remember just saying, now what do you think now? Am I great or what? He says, I'm marvelous, you're great.
Well, talking about greatness, Muhammad Ali, the greatest boxer of all time, he continuously said that he's the greatest of all time. Do you think self-praise is necessary as a sports person?
No, I know what you're trying to say. But you know, Ali was somebody different. He was a totally different person. But for myself, I always said that the greatness will come. You can't bring it. It has to be there. It has to shine. And so I think that after that fight, that's where the greatness showed.
What role has boxing played in your life?
No, you know, basically I grew up in a very poor area.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, in the poverty-stricken area. And what was the greatest thing that ever happened to me was that I was able, excuse me, to find boxing. You know, so it's the same thing as what I'm doing, why I'm here, in a sense now, too, with Lars. Because what we're trying to do is we're trying to give back to kids that are growing up, to get them out of the ghettos, get them out of the street, give them hope, give them something that which you never had.
Yeah.
So by me growing up the way that I grew up, it just showed me that if you ever make it to the top or whatever like that, that one thing that you got to learn, that you really didn't do it by yourself, and that what you should do is to be able to give something back.
Yeah.
So by me finding Lars, in a sense, has helped me to put a smile on every kid's face, and that's what's important. Like when you say marvelous, the kids love that. They know just who I am and whatever like that, and they want to touch you, they want to be able to talk with you, and you know, and it's exciting. I mean, you know, you really didn't realize that how much impact that you really have on people and whatever, and that people, that even the old people that watched me when I was fighting, they talked to me just like the fight was yesterday. They remember every round, they remember the punch that I threw. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, very, very interesting story. On a personal level, how have you been able to give back in terms of helping young people?
Well, I think basically what I am into is giving a kid education, and basically I'm interested in sports. I think every kid should play a sport, and I think you should have education in the sense that if your sport or your job or whatever does not work out, if you get the education, you have something that you can turn back on and that you can build. You know, there's another life, not only just one way, you know, and education is your last hope.
Yeah, talking about another life, a lot of sportsmen are falling into depression after retirement.
Yes.
What do you think that can be done to help a lot of sportsmen stay alive after sports?
It's a terrible feeling, and I think I don't want to be there. You know, I think that you have to make yourself happy in a sense by going on to a different, like for me, when I finished boxing, whatever, I wanted to become an actor. So that's what I do now, you know. One thing I learned about being an actor, you know, if you get killed inside a film, at least you can come back alive. So that's the great part. You know, when you get whacked or whatever, I mean, it really don't hurt because it's fake. You know what I mean? But inside the ring, everything is real. So that's realistic there. So, you know, it's fun to have something else to look forward to, you know. And that's what I'm trying to do. Look forward to the dreams that which I'm trying to still fulfill. And that is my acting career. And I think one more film and I think I'm going to finish that.
You are now officially Marvelous.
Marvelous.
Marvin Hardy.
Yes, that is my name.
Tell us the story. It was a nickname.
No, I think that basically, you know, I felt as though that if you can call Muhammad Ali, Muhammad Ali, and if you can call Sugar Ray Leonard, Sugar Ray, I mean, and they're not even the real Sugar, and if, you know, all these nicknames that other fighters have, but to be Marvelous, you know, I didn't want to be a person that was imitating anybody. So the reporters and everything years ago, they used to say to me, I was hearing the people going, like even in France, ooh la la, I'm Marvelous. I mean, the people really got to like the name, and so I love it too, you know what I mean? And I always think that I was Marvelous.
Wow, fantastic.
So it fits.
You moved to Italy.
Yes.
You left the U.S.
Yeah.
Was it motivated by love?
Well, it was a different, no, moving to Italy is because basically I started finding a job there. I did a couple films in Italy, and that's what generated me to stay. Plus, I found my lovely wife, you know what I mean? And so, you know, it gave me a reason, you know, being away from the ghetto type of area where you grew up and everything, being into a totally different world, which is, you know, an Italian culture and whatever, learning about the culture of other people, being able to try to speak the language. I mean, this helps you to grow. It's a new challenge in my life. So that is what I'm working on.
Let's talk about racism. You're a legend.
Yes.
Maybe because of your status, you don't suffer much as far as racism is concerned. But a lot of people have lower rung of society, blacks,
yes,
who suffer racism. How do you think that sports can help to eradicate racism?
We all went through that. You know, growing up, even in a fighter, growing up in a black area, and then being able to be able to mix with other nationalities. I think for me it was a great opportunity because it gives me an opportunity to learn how other people live and how they eat, they sleep, and whatever. I cannot understand the ignorance, basically, from people who are against any other color. Okay, so I think basically the whole world has got to come together and realize that we're all on this earth together.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I don't look at the person as black, white, or whatever. I look at what they are.
Marvin Hagler, the humanitarian. I didn't know it existed, but there he was talking about race and this and that. Bottom line is Marvin was a little bit deeper than a lot of us thought. But, you know, he still took the shot at Sugar Ray there. I heard him say the not real Sugar and that kind of good stuff. He just can't give it up, though. He just can't. I thought he went the entire interview without taking a shot at Ray Leonard, but I was wrong. Bottom line is he took it to the grave. He had a chip on his shoulder over that fight. April 7th, 1987, of course, live in Las Vegas, a 12-round split decision loss. Leonard won by a wide score on some Mexican judge's card, I think 118-110, and then it was 115-113 for Leonard, 7-5 in rounds. And the third judge, Lou Filippo, my dear friend, my dear late friend, he had it 115-113 for Hagler. So he and I argued about that to China, back from China, different parts of Asia and the Europe, all that kind of good stuff. He always thought the Hagler won 7-5, but 7-5 is a close fight, no doubt about that. Of course, Marvin Hagler, I tried explaining that to him, and I'll say it to you one more time. He said, how did you score the fight? I said, you know, you gave away the first four rounds. And he didn't say anything. And then I said, no. And I think Ray sort of stole three rounds down the stretch. So I might have had it 7-5 for Ray. He looked at me with a bad look, but at least he didn't punch me. And I was worried about him punching me. Marvin Hagler, I was scared of him. Can you figure that out by now? I think he can. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Checking your inside look into the world of boxing, MMA. Live WBC TV next up. El Presidente, WBC President, Mauricio Sulaiman. I almost said Jose Sulaiman. Mauricio Sulaiman next on Ring Talk Live Worldwide, WBC TV. Welcome back to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Of course, a Sports Byline production. My name is Pedro Fernandez. We're talking boxing and MMA today only on Sports Byline. Mauricio Sulaiman will join us in a couple minutes. Of course, on top last night, as far as I thought, the best fighter in the world, as far as women are concerned, she's up there. I'm talking about Jessica McCaskill. Of course, she's a marketing girl. A marketing girl. She works in an office. She's a secretary. But guess what? She's the world welterweight champion. She's got every belt there is out there. I think she's even got the Pedro belt. She's got the Ring Magazine belt. In fact, she talks about that in depth in an interview we'll get to in a couple of minutes. But last night, she took Cecilia Bracus, considering the best fighter pound for pound in the world, as far as women's boxing was concerned, for like decades. She was like the heir apparent to Lucia Riker and Christy Martin. Well, guess what? Didn't work out that well in the first fight. And of course, they said it was a bit of a gift, the first fight, that Jessica might not have deserved to have that and that kind of good stuff. And I said, yeah, she won the fight. Anyway, last night, she won going away without a doubt. We'll get to the scores afterwards. Here's Jessica post-fight.
Congratulations is in order.
Thank you.
You cemented yourself and your legacy in the welterweight division. Tell us how you're feeling right now.
I'm very excited. The last fight was a lot more exciting. This really just felt like work. This is my profession. This is what I do. I'll be a lot more excited to go back home and share it with everybody in Chicago. Hopefully get the chance to get back to St. Louis and Belleville, because I have a lot of roots there, a lot of family there, and I just want to share it with everybody. This isn't just for me. This is for the community, for my fans, for people who've never seen a ring belt up close and personal, things like that. It's really big, and I have the opportunity and the platform to share it.
Talk us through the fight. So it seems like you pushed the pace. She had to keep up with your pace the whole fight. Tell us what was going on.
I just wanted to back her up. I didn't want her to come forward at all and think that she had any kind of advantage. She took a lot of big shots. There were some points where I tried, just to manage my spacing, and I got really boring. And so, I just tried to keep going forward and look for my angles. She has like an awkward style where her hands are kind of out, so you got to figure out if you're going to go over it or under it, or a lot of holding. Like I thought, it's not anything new. That's what happens on rematches when, the other side just isn't up for the fight, so.
And what do you think the difference was tonight compared to the first night in Tulsa?
The difference was, I think I'm just, more mentally sound, and she's just completely not. And you have to be mentally tough in this game to even succeed, to get in the ring, to make it down the ring walk, And my confidence is sky high. It always has been. And we've just been training like animals, so. This was just another night of sparring for me, really.
So you're at the top of the division. You beat her in a dominating fashion. What is next for you? Where do you want to go?
There's so many options. I mean, we can go up. We can go down. Other people could come up. Other people could come down. I'm following Rick Ramos. He's my trainer, manager, best friend. And he makes the game plans, and we go through it. So we're ready for anything, and we just want to make the smart play. People don't have to sign crazy contracts. They don't have to fight people they don't want to fight or that aren't going to help their career. Don't just fight somebody because they call you out. Make sure it's the path that you want to take as a professional boxer.
Caskill won on scores of 189, 99, 90, and 98, 91. A dominant performance for the undisputed WBC and world welterweight champion, Jessica McCaskill, come to us from the Windy City, Chicago, Illinois. Now we take us south of the border. Bringing the WBC president, of course, the passing of Marvin Hagler 24 hours ago. Marvin was a great representative of the WBC, a WBC champion. Mauricio Sulaiman, it's with great sadness I bring you on this morning's show, but good morning, sir.
Good morning, Pedro. Yes, the whole world is sad. I was shocked yesterday, and today I'm very, very sad. It has sunk in that it's a reality that our dear marvelous Marvin Hagler has passed away.
I was telling Larry Merchant a little bit earlier, and I know I sound like a big wussy here, but I was scared of him. I mean, I'm not afraid to talk to anybody or say anything, but I watched my words around Marvin Hagler. He was the real deal.
He was unbelievable. He was a true representative of the best of boxing. He had an unbelievable career inside the ring. One of the greatest ever. And when he retired, he just became a role model of what a boxer should do when they finish their career inside the ring. He went to Italy. He got married. He was so happy. He was a movie star in Italy. He lived life to the fullest. And he was very, very close to the WBC, to my father, to all the members. He was in most of our WBC conventions and special events and recognitions. He was just simply unique.
Don Jose brought him to Malaga, Spain, and I remember in Mexico City as well. I remember in Mexico City, as we were talking about the fight, and he said to me, "How did you score it?" And I was sort of scared, blah, blah, blah. I didn't really know how to put it. I parsed my words, and I said to him, "Well, you sort of gave away the first four rounds, and then Ray might have stole three rounds down the stretch, because you didn't want, I mean, he scared me, Mauricio. I mean, he was a nice guy to everybody else, but deep down inside, he was the only fighter I think that I was really scared of. I'm sorry, but I was scared of him. Nice guy, treated me with class in the gym. We sat down for a television interview at Johnny Taco's gym in Las Vegas. He was classy, he was gentleman, he was a gentleman, no doubt about that. But Marvin Hagler was intimidating.
Yes, he was, and he had a only one way. He could not be shy, he would not be condescending, and he stood by what he believed. And can you imagine, he retired from boxing from that fight with Sugar Ray, and he never entertained any rematch. That he would have made so many millions of dollars. He knew what he had, he knew what he had done, and he just moved on his life. But when he talked to you face to face, I agree with you, he was intimidating, but at the same time, he had such a soft heart. He went with us to children's hospital, to orphanages, to schools. Mm-hmm. He was always there in the WBC Cares program. So I it's a very, very difficult moment. But now his legacy, his spirit will carry on forever, and he will be remembered as one of the best boxers in the history of the sport.
12 defenses of the WBC title. Of course, he captured that with a crushing knockout of Alan Minter across the pond. The crowd didn't appreciate that in London, but boxing fans did. Of course, he came back and then went on a rampage, just tore through the middleweight division, all the way through the middleweight division. Of course, the epic fight with Tommy Hearns in 1985. He says that was his peak, that was his glory moment. You want to agree on that one? People say there's never been a greater fight.
The greatest fight, the greatest round, so intense. You don't need 12, 15, 20 rounds. That's all you need. Three rounds of such greatness. But he also beat Duran, and he beat Mugabe, and he beat, Minter, and, Hamsho, Obel Mejia. So many great fighters.
Fully Obel.
Yeah. I mean, he was unbelievable. Always fight, never, shy to face anyone, and he was always so powerful and so intimidating inside the ring. He was a great, great champion.
You know, he only complimented one fighter, and that was Roberto. Of all the guys he fought, I mean, he had what 70 fights almost. He only complimented Roberto Duran. He said he's got a sneaky right hand because Roberto cut him up and almost closed that one eye of his. But that was a close fight. After 12 rounds, Roberto was in it.
That was a great. He was 15 rounds then.
Yeah, I know, but it was. But I'm trying to say, had the fight been 12 rounds, I think Roberto was up on two cards after 12.
Exactly. History would have been different. I used to love to see them together, him and Duran. They had so much fun, and even with a language barrier, mm-hmm. they were able to communicate and just have fun and always be together.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Now, let's talk real quick. Juan Estrada, I haven't mentioned, a split decision winner last night over Chocolito. Of course, Chocolito falling to 50-3 with 41 KOs. Estrada improving to 42-3, 28 KOs. Now I know you've got a different name for this guy, but I know him as Wasikal Wangek, the guy from Thailand. How many names does he have? Three or four?
Yeah, three or four. You know, in Thailand, it's common that they use a sponsor name.
Right.
And they change the names and, It's are so difficult. All the names to pronounce, all the Thai names are difficult, but, I like Sirsaket Sorungvisai.
Okay. All right. Can you say that 10 times?
Yes. That one. Yes. I have practiced it so long. And he's been a champion, so.
I have practiced it so long. Mauricio Sulu, my president of the World Boxing Council, is our guest. Of course, you can always check out the WBC as far as their website's concerned at WBCboxing.com. They've got all kinds of stuff, boxing results, boxing schedules, the boxing schedule, WBC documents as far as fights are concerned, you name it, it's all there at WBCboxing.com. Now, I'll have them on in hour number two, but David Benavidez got some work in last night, looked good, and he talked a good game afterwards.
Yeah, Benavidez is a story in the making. he has gone through so much at his young age, and all that he wants is to get back his green belt. He made the weight. It was a surprise, a pleasant surprise to everyone. You know, he lost the title on the scale.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the pandemic, without having the great, discipline, the sparring and the sauna and the nutrition when you're in a bubble.
The sauna.
And he, sadly, he lost the belt, and now he's trying to get back into that title fight to come back and become champion again.
Okay. I was pumped up last night because Jessica McCaskill and Cecilia Brakes went in the rematch. And you know, that young girl, she's a tech girl. She's a marketing girl from Chicago. Smart girl with a head on her shoulders, no doubt about it. She's well educated. But she went out there and she was dominant last night against a former iconic fighter.
Yes, Cecilia was considered one of the great women boxers of all time. She had the title for 10 years, 25 title defenses. Last year, she lost to McCaskill. Of course, there was always a doubt about the pandemic and the training and this and that. They did the rematch, and she was so superior. She just had the ticket for Cecilia, who has had a tremendous career. And she's a very honorable woman, but McCaskill is a true champion. I'm so happy and so proud of her.
So we have her. We have Clarissa Shields, of course, one weight division above. She's a WBC champion. She was a winner last week. I thought Luda Bella is going to try to put together a series of women fights. So it looks like women's boxing is back.
Yes, it is back, and it's as strong as ever. And this has been the work that they have put. Every female fighter, every woman is always trained, always ready, always on weight, willing to fight anytime. They're always on time. They never skip anything. They're a pride of dedication, and I'm so happy to see them getting their much due recognition in the world of sports. And I am sure that they're going to continue to grow and get better pay and get better opportunities, and I'm very proud of them.
Well, we thank you so much for your time. I know I drug you out of bed. You're not feeling all the well. Are you feeling better from the flu?
Much better. Thank God. I'm better. I did my morning walk, and I'm just ready to start a great week tomorrow.
Well, you have a great week, sir. We thank you so much for your time and your support. WBC President, I started to say it again, Mauricio Sulaiman. I keep blowing you. I keep going to call you dad. I'm sorry about it. Maybe I need to write it down in front of me.
Can I share an unbelievable story?
Go.
Oscar Valdez was in Mexico City because he was broadcasting the fight last night.
Uh-huh.
So I sent a couple of gloves that I wanted him to sign. I asked him to dedicate one to me and sign some for giveaways that we do in the WBC.
Mm-hmm.
So I received the gloves today, and I open up, and I have two gloves. One says, to Jose Sulaiman.
Yeah.
So he did Jose Sulaiman, put it down and started signing the other gloves. And my friend who was helping me with the gloves, he told the champ, you put Jose instead of Mauricio. And the fighter said, I have Mr. Sulaiman always in my heart. So he signed one for my father thinking he was signing it for me. And then he just signed another for Mauricio. So I'm going to keep those two together all my life.
Well, we wish you all the best, man. Thank you so much for your time. We'll talk real soon, okay?
Take care, Pedro. Thank you. Have a great Sunday.
WBC President Mauricio Sulaiman. Check him out, WBCBoxing.com. That is the World Boxing Council's website. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC TV. Back after the break. He's on into your back, but you ain't just exactly sure what's him.
This may be the most brutal even round you've ever seen in boxing.
The great Barry Tompkins. Let me tell you something a little about Barry. Before he went to HBO, Showtime, and all those other networks, he was with the City College of San Francisco. He was like a broadcaster out there. And then, of course, he was CBS, PIX, Channel 5, their local CBS channel. He was their first sports guy, so he came right out of, like, City College, like he was a teenager, just about a teenager, 20 years old, like 20 years old coming out of City College around 1966, of course, still going, still rocking and rolling, one of the great broadcasters. But I remember how he got fired from HBO, too. He told me about it. He sat down with Seth Abraham, of course, Uncle Seth Abraham, the CEO of HBO Sports, and Seth Abraham was saying, you know, you're going to do Wimbledon, and we've got Jim Lampley coming in to take your place to do a boxing show. He goes, well, why don't you hire Jim Lampley to do all the shows? He was drunk. Barry admitted being drunk when he said this. So what did Seth do? Seth hired Jim Lampley to do all the shows. Straight up, talked his way out of a job, did Barry Tompkins. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC-TV. Marvin Hagler. Let me tell you a little Marvin Hagler story, Cuddy. 1999, 2000, I won't say what country we're in. Well, Marvin Hagler walks up to me in an international hotel lobby. It's about 11:30 at night, and he says to me, quote, where's everybody at? End of quote. I said, looking at my watch, nonchalantly, probably at the nearest brothel. That's where everybody was. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC, forthcoming. We'll bring in Claire Burke, boxing advisor, and also bring in David Benavidez. Of course, he... former WBC Super Middleweight Champion, a winner last night over Ronald Ellis via TKO. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC TV, live on Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel, and, of course, live on iHeartRadio, all over the place, straight up. Hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide, WBC TV, forthcoming on these same channels.